Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
Unfortunately, the bastard of Baker Street won't be with us this week. Instead, we get Miss Congeniality. While he doesn't look like Sandra Bullock, he once was accused of being a Marilyn Monroe lookalike. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rob Charney.
By who?
It's the old guy. Actually, that's a true story.
All right. That's why I said it.
In front of thousands of people.
So you think I was making this up?
Did you have a lot of makeup on?
No. So it was a
chewing
show.
On red lipstick.
It was a show at SeaWorld.
It was the Indiana Jones. It was the Indiana Jones stage stunt show. I think it was at Disney. No, wasn't it at Disney?
No, I thought it was at SeaWorld. Anyway, whatever it was, the big audience, the asshole on stage decided to say, and the person who looks like Marilyn Monroe is, and they zoomed in on me.
Oh.
Yeah, and I went down and took part of the show.
Oh, okay. And so cool. You know what he did the whole time the show was on? Sweated his ass off in that robe they put him on. Because I remember that, because I was making fun of him.
Well, yeah, it was Indiana Jones, so I was a Arab,
yeah,
tunic on and a sword, and
because we saw it,
and they had fireworks going off, and
because like 20 years later we saw it again. You had to comment, it's like, I always wondered how this show ended.
Yeah, yeah, and they said, don't worry about the fire, your robe is fire resistant.
All right,
but my face and arms are not. Well, okay,
since the holiday season is already upon us, I want to make sure you guys have your European holiday themed tree ready. That you can pick up at your local grocery store.
Okay. Low price.
Yeah.
$6.98.
What?
Yeah, so have any of you guys seen the Ghostbusters trailer? And I'm going to have to harass Ryan about this because I know how much he hates watching trailers.
I thought you wanted to open with? I thought I had, but not sure that I have now that you gave me some insight.
All right.
So we can talk about something else. We can wait for Ryan if you want. I'm cool with that.
I'm interested. It does kind of...
It feels a lot like Stranger Things.
That's exactly how I felt. Like, so
I was watching the trailer, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is I got to actually zoom up on the trailer.
The thing that I liked about it is they're taking it more seriously than what they did with the Ghostbusters remake that they recently did. So it seems like it's going to be set in a serious, more serious style of a backdrop and story.
And this one is supposedly it's canon, so it's actually part of the real Ghostbusters story. A lot of people didn't like the one with the ladies because it was slapstick. Because if you actually watch the second one, they took it really serious, and the only comedy bit in the entire movie was Bill Murray. I mean, that was it. He was the only like comic foil. The only kind of laugh thing. Everything else was played serious.
I chose not to watch it.
The female?
Female one.
I chose as well. I wanted to, but then after seeing the trailers and seeing little bits of it, I'm like, there's no desire.
Yeah.
I've watched bits and pieces of it, and the bits and pieces I saw are more than I wanted to see. Because I wanted to see it, because I saw the trailer, and I'm like, okay, that's taste this, see what it looks like, and it's...
I didn't hear anything good about it, to be honest with you. And,
that too.
And so I thought, you know, I've got better things to do with my time. So it was, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should have. But
it's the movie.
I'm not a movie reviewer.
It's the movie equivalent of getting hammered on Jägermeister and waking up the next morning.
Not real flicks reviews anymore.
Wouldn't really want to be doing that. We do some bits and pieces of that still.
But you still bring it out. I think you should. I still think that's a good one.
So the few things I want to see about it is because the farm they show in the trailer, it's one of the first couple of scenes. You see these mom and son drive up to a farm. And so if you later on in that same trailer, they show a bunch of spore molds, which could be Egon's, but Dan Aykroyd's character is the one that had the old farm. And Dan Aykroyd's character was also the one who was a bigger fan of Ecto-1, which shows up in there. So I'm curious about who it actually is. They actually show some of the old Ghostbuster uniforms. I actually want to zoom up on the trailer to see if it actually says the name.
I don't think they put a name. They didn't show.
I don't think they did either.
No, they didn't really show the breast section of them. They just showed the side and a little bit of the shoulder area, but not enough to really make it out.
I do know that, excuse me, I forgot his name. The guy who played Tully, he was on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Gosh, it starts with a P.
My apologies. He's one of my favorite actors, but he quit
one of
Hollywood.
My favorite actors, but I can't name him.
Well, he was on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. He's been on a number of movies.
Phil Moranis.
Yeah, Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. Thanks. And that's why I was like, it starts.
I can almost guarantee Rick Moranis won't be on it. I'm curious how they handled Harold Ramis's passing.
I don't know.
And I also want to know how much are the original Ghostbusters going to be a part of it. I'm hoping they're going to be the quintessential part of it, you know, like these kids find the gear and they somehow do something. Because if without the original, anybody in there, I'm going to be disappointed.
I mean, they do kind of say afterlife, so I'm wondering if they're going to encounter them in some form
like
or fashion.
Form.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Not some Ouija board crap or something like that, but never know.
I'm thinking what's going to happen is it's going to be the three remaining Ghostbusters are going to show up. I don't know about Bill Murray, but at least two of them are going to show up, and they're going to be involved somehow. I'm hoping somehow Harold Ramis is involved somehow. I mean, I don't know if he filmed anything. I'm hoping there's enough content, but I hope somehow he shows up. Just because Egon Spengler was my favorite character in the movies, in the cartoon, he was the one that I kind of like. I say, okay, that's me type of character.
I did like the fact that in the trailer they did bring up the past news stories that they had in the movies about the ghost and everything going on. I thought that was kind of a nice little touch to bring that stuff up.
I totally also dug part about that is in that scene they talks about it's been 30 years since there's been any ghost sightings. Yeah. I loved that basically everything's in real life. In real time, I really liked how they said, yeah, for 30 years, everything's been fine. But for that short period of time, it was, you know, madness. I really dug that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The other thing I was kind of surprised to see on is you didn't really get to see Ecto-1 all that much in the movies, the original two. So they had that like a gunner's seat. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that in the cartoon and not in the movie?
It probably was. It's been forever.
It's been a long time, but I don't remember seeing that in the movie.
I wonder if Netflix still has the cartoon. I'll have to see.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
The only thing I'm really concerned at, just because I'm a fan, is they're going to go the Stranger Thing route, and it's going to be all the kids, and the original cast isn't going to have anything to do with it, which I think it would be. It feels like it, and I think that's going to be a great disservice personally, and it probably will turn me off.
So we're still talking about Afterlife.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, you know, it doesn't star Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd
or
Sigourney Weaver.
But that,
I was a little disappointed in not seeing her name in there. But
yeah, but they're kind of in there, but they're not. Apparently, they're... What I'm reading, they're not really in the movie.
They could be a supporting role.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, according to this, yeah, there's four main characters. It's none of them that I just mentioned, and
it's all kids, yeah.
Because there's a couple of questions I have regarding that, and the movie is going to answer. Like, so I'm assuming there's some sort of ghost, and they're going to bust these ghosts. But the question is this: A, according to the second movie, the half life of the proton packs is nearsighted forever. And what do they do about ghost storage? There's a bunch of stuff, like little tiny technical stuff within the world. I'm wondering how they handle that.
My theory.
Yes.
As to what they're hinting at. I believe they took the ghost traps, buried them down there, and that's what's leaking out.
Well, the ghost trap?
The overflow of ectoplasm is leaking out.
The ghost trap or the original containment unit?
The containment unit and the ghost traps, because they do have the ghost traps in the...
I hope that's not the
case.
And
that's what it seems like, because they're saying that's what they hinted at, the earthquakes and things like that going on. So the ghosts are busting out is what I'm thinking is going to happen.
I'm going to be thoroughly disappointed if that's the case.
You want to take bets?
Dinner.
All right.
At Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Because all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Okay.
I was going to throw Adam Beto's in there, but you can have Taco Bell. That's fine with me.
Okay, Adam Beto.
Nope, nope. You said Taco Bell.
Honestly, because I'm closer to a Taco Bell than I ever am in Adam Beto's.
Is this a plug for Taco Bell?
No.
I mean, you know, better write corporate and use their name, so.
Well, I used we'll Adam Beto's too, but I don't think they really care.
So should I say the old Conan O'Brien bit? I better do it close to a restroom? I mean.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because I'm hoping it's more than that. I'm hoping some sort of cult, some sort of thing that fits within the universe. Because unfortunately, my opinion is if it's going to be, it's the trap and the original containment unit. They basically turned Ghostbusters into a kid's movie versus if you have, it's, you know, because of some sort of underground ritualistic, well, yada, yada, yada. I want it to be in the spirit of the original.
I will say this. So if they do it as the feel of Stranger Things is not a kid's show. Yeah. I'll say that. That is not a kid's show. I'd say mid-teens and older would probably watch it and like it, but it'd be too scary for younger than 12. And we give them nightmares. And if that's the way they're going to take this Ghostbusters, I think it'll do well. If they're going to take it that route instead of where you have the female Ghostbusters, which kind of seemed like it was more towards an 8-year-old.
You know, so. I would say if it was towards the more adult viewership, teenagers, I think I could stomach that. Because I think that was kind of the original was aimed at was...
You watched the original Ghostbusters.
We need you enjoyed those, right? Of course.
That was PG-13. So, I mean, they weren't R.
Right. No. Yeah.
So, even the second one, I don't think it was R.
Right. Yeah, as long as it's PG-13 and it's a little bit more less obvious, like what you're saying.
R. Let's go all the way.
Well, I mean, there's still people going to be bringing kids into it like they did Deadpool.
That's true.
Well, so, and that's a true story.
Movies that should never be in movies.
Period. So I don't know if you knew. I knew. Don't know if John knew, but NASA has been orbiting an asteroid for a little over a year now, with just a space probe that they've had on it.
Right.
They're actually going to land now. They've picked two sites.
Copying other countries, are they?
And they're going to land on it and try to drill it. I kind of am happy about that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I believe the Chinese have already done that.
Yeah. But our space program has fallen way behind as far as I've ever heard.
Well, part of that is we don't
10, 15 years.
Well, we don't have the evil enemy to help speed up the space race. One of the reasons
we
did
China.
Well, it's different. Now we have China. Before we had Russia. One of the reasons we were actually doing... we were going anywhere is because we were trying to beat the Russians to space. And so I think we're a country that needs a competitor. Now that we have China,
we didn't beat Russia to space.
The problem is, we didn't. Yes, correct. We didn't. But the problem that's going on with NASA is they have plundered billions of dollars, let's just say, in wasted programs.
Yeah.
For years now. And I was just reading an article not too long ago about how misdirected the so-called reboot of the Apollo program was, and how many billions of dollars was actually thrown down the drain with that. So it's been bad direction. Is what it's been.
So trying to go to the moon now, they're calling it, they're trying to reboot like the Apollo program?
So
that's the first I've heard of it. It's the reason I'm asking.
They're shooting for 2024, and they've already developed a spacecraft and the booster. This is to go along with it, and they're in the final testing stages of it right now. And so, basically it's an updated Apollo capsule, looks like it. Same thing.
But this time it's reusable, I'm assuming.
Well,
yes,
they're hoping.
And the lander as well is supposed to be reusable. So,
well, I mean, the thing about space is that it's... You know, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
If it was easy, and everybody would do
it. Yeah.
All right. And so,
well, unless you're Elon Musk.
Unless you're the billionaires, Bozo.
Musk.
Jeff
Bezos.
Bezos and
Elon Musk, Russia, who has the coolest rocket boosters ever that actually land themselves.
How do they do a job?
That is the coolest thing I have ever seen. And of all the years I've watched anything NASA related, watching rockets land instead of falling away, it was like, ha ha, done it, you know. It's the first time you get to feel like a kid again after seeing something so amazing.
Yeah, but I'm excited that they're actually going to try it. I don't know how feasible it is to be harvesting materials from asteroids long term, but we could see. I mean, there's a ton of space debris that flies by the Earth every day.
Absolutely.
So,
to me, going to the moon makes actually a lot more sense than the space station, to be honest with you. But there's some major hurdles that they're going to have to do, particularly radiation hardening, ability to, because a couple of flares, big solar flares, a lot of radiation.
Yeah, there's no atmosphere.
It's a bit of a problem, and, you know, they're a little bit worried about that on the space station as well. But the space station is going to wear out, and there's no doubt about it. And it just seems to me that, you know, making a moon base more permanent structures and be able to go underground. Apparently there's some caves that they have discovered and ways of, you know, as well as water. They've got ice, so they know they have water. So it just makes more sense to go to the moon. Now, if we can go to the moon and actually do it well, who knows what's going to happen with Mars.
And I agree. I definitely agree with going to the moon first, because a lot of the people I've listened to say the moon is the practice run and you go to Mars, then that would be the goal. But the benefit of launching from the moon to instead of the Earth is, I guess there's less power required to get from the atmosphere.
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's the everything I've read, it says it's a better way of...
platform for going out.
But as Rob pointed out, I mean, there's solar flares that, I mean, there's no atmosphere. It's just going to cook whatever is on the surface of the moon. There's tons of different radiation that comes off the sun.
Yeah.
Well, I think if they can handle it in space station, I think they'll be able to handle it in the moon. I think the only thing I think they're going to have issues with is how do they actually do it. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the major problems you're going to have is also things striking the moon surface. Like, if they put up like a what is it? That movie with Matt Damon, was it the Mars movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they going to do and have issues with stuff striking at that? Is it going to be a fixture that they build within the planet's surface? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's another thing too, is how do you harden it?
Yeah. As they have mentioned, they being NASA has mentioned that there are caves and other structures that are already available that they can actually go into that they expect to can.
No,
certain amount of things.
What's
but,
the seismic activity too? Because
as far as I know, there is none on the moon.
So
it's dead. There's no core. Well, there's no.
So it's basically a giant rock.
These caves is I'm curious as to. I mean, are these asteroid holes, caves? I mean, are they?
I guess we won't know until we get in there.
That's an interesting thing to think about. The water on there, but as John mentioned, and that's the thing about it is are they going to try to? I guess long term, they would have to start being able to create reusable food source, things like that. There's a lot of complications.
Well, they've grown vegetables and stuff in lunar soil for years.
But, I mean, actually, wasn't it mostly like sea life type thing, like algae and things like that they're growing up there?
Yeah, well, I believe in the beginning there was, but I do think they have some small hydroponic projects going on where they've been sprouting bean sprouts and, you know, some of the more simpler things to start growing.
Yeah.
And that, and seeing what's going on with that, and I do know that they are testing that. So,
and
unfortunately,
I
don't feel educated enough.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Discussing this at this point. So, you brought up a subject that I'm throwing wags at.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting thing. That's I brought up the asteroid. You brought up the moon. It's fine. But, yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what it is. Having grown up with the Apollo landings, I mean, 1968, I was in high school. And I can tell you exactly where I was when they landed on the moon and everything. And that's one of those moments in life, you know, that I'm old enough just now just to remember the Kennedy assassination. I remember the moon landing. You know, you guys have certain things like 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, there's certain things that happen in life that, you know, you should always remember.
I was reading an old theological book. And one of the first concepts they put in there about God and things like that was they brought in something called lunar eschatology, which is not practiced or taught anymore. And what that was is that at the time when the book was written, you could see the moon, you could see the effects of the moon, but they were basing it on the fact that nobody's been to the moon. We don't actually know that the moon is really there in our own mindset. It was just an interesting concept to think about as somebody who's grown up. We've been to the moon. We've landed on the moon. We brought things back from the moon. So growing up as you were, I mean, it was just one of those things. You're like, they're finally there, you know, because we still see these planets out there and we haven't landed on them.
Right.
So, some of them. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you don't really think about in that aspect anymore is that space is there. There's things out in space that we can touch, we can feel, we can bring them back.
And to.
But 50, 60 years ago, it wasn't that case. Actually, closer to 70 years ago now.
Probably.
Getting closer to 70 years ago. The 50s is when they started thinking about going there.
Well, there's still the Flat Earth Society.
I would say also, according to my cousin in the movie Iron Sky, you can find helium-3 is the only place that we'd be able to actually find it is on the moon.
Well, Iron Sky 2, the second one, is pretty cool because it's the hollow Earth. And Hitler's still alive.
Of course.
He's a reptilian.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it.
You have to watch Iron Sky 2. It's a hilarious movie. It's one of those bad movies that you just get a laugh
at.
You have
to watch it. It's
titled, like, one of the reviews is titled, like, Nazis in Space, the spoof.
Yeah.
We took the review fairly seriously, and we got kind of, people are mad at us for being a little bit more serious on the review.
We always ended up with the fact of that it's a fun movie that you just don't take seriously. But
Ghostbusters was a PG movie.
The first one.
But here's the thing. It's a PG movie, but this is also in the 84, because if you look at some movies that during the time period was definitely
a hard PG.
What is?
Outlaw Josie Wales. Oh. It's PG.
So PG in 1984 does not equate PG in 2020.
We had a whole different idea of what was PG and what was not back then.
Yeah. So for the equivalent, if you take a look at Ghostbusters in 1984, which is not really a kids movie, Transformers, the movie, the cartoon that happened around sometime in the mid-80s, or I think it was 88, got a PG rating because of one cuss word. Yeah. And they said the word shit right towards the beginning because they knew it would draw more people in it.
Yeah.
So because of PG.
To the P rating.
To the G.
Or G rating.
They got a PG.
PG.
Yeah. So if you take a look at the two, one's a kid's movie. Depending on your kid, they may not have nightmares. Because the first one's kind of freaky. I actually think the second one's worse. I think that Viggo character is pretty scary character. It was for me when I was a kid and I saw it in the theaters.
I don't remember being bothered by those.
No, that's
The Shining gave me nightmares as a kid.
Oh, my God.
The Shining gave him nightmares.
Gave me nightmares. What are you talking about?
And he wasn't in diapers.
No.
Yeah. That's the one movie I do remember having nightmares of. Is The Shining.
Yeah.
You know, I'm super sensitive to those movies, so I have to be super careful because even as an adult, they'll give me nightmares.
Yeah, I watched Night of the Living Dead. Didn't give me nightmares. Watched the Ghostbusters. No problem. A few of the other ones, you know, horror movies. I mean, that was big in the 80s.
Right.
There was a ton of horror movies. But The Shining is the one that gave me nightmares.
I'm not a big fan of horror movies per se, depending on what genre. I mean, Chainsaw Massacre never did anything for me. I don't know. The Hannibal Lecter movies I could kind of get.
Would you? I don't know if I would consider those. Those would be more thrillers than horror.
Or is it fall into horror?
So it's a thriller horror?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, thriller horror.
You know, some of them they don't do anything for me. I mean,
so would you like a hack and slash, like a Saw or Hypercube, or do you want more of the thriller type?
Seen
or?
Saw?
No.
He's seen Cube.
I've been I didn't question Cube. I questioned Saw. Yeah.
It's the same basic principle.
There was no reason to see Saw.
Oh, okay.
You're not missing
thing
much.
About Saw is the opening scene. The guy wakes up in this room, dead guy on the floor. He has a gun with a bullet, and he's chained. First thing I said is shoot the guy on the floor. End of the movie, the guy on the floor gets up, and he's the bad guy. And I'm like, just shoot the guy right there.
Shoot the guy on the floor. Yeah. You had your chance. You blew it, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and boy. That was the thing. It's like it's just one of those, when I get into those movies, I'm like, there's the guy. You question the dead guy. You questioned the supposed dead guy.
By the way, shout out to the people in Midwest who got kind of ooked out because of our discussion of horror movies.
Yeah.
That's how I got the nickname, the California Pariah, because I made some people from the Midwest rather freaked out because there's a term for the Saw. Taboo, torture porn. Because the only reason why you watch it. You don't watch it for its cinematic masterpiece. You watch it because you're watching horrible, in theory, horrible people get tortured. And they were rather unhappy with that.
Interesting.
Well, so shout out to you people from Missouri.
And that's the whole point of hostile movies. That's exactly what the hostile movies are based on.
Oh, really? I've never wanted to see it. Like, at this point in my life, I just don't have time for those type of movies.
They basically kidnap people from hostels and sell them to rich people who get off on torturing them in some sadistic ways. And that's the whole premise of the hostel movies.
So it's based off the reality.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I always I always wondered what it was actually about.
Pretty sad state of affairs.
Yeah, that's what the hostel movies are about. And that's why there's a couple of them. And you know, I watched two of them. I don't think I watched any more than that. I don't know if there is more than that. I don't really care. It kind of got boring after the second one.
There's a YouTube channel, though. If you guys are actually curious, I'll send you the information. But it's a bunch of old British like documentaries, like short clips of how things are manufactured. And there's this manufacturer of how they make cigarettes. So, you know, they have this machine that has this giant roll of paper. They put the tobacco on it and they cut it. And then it's rough cut. Somebody finishes cleaning it up. And so they put the tips on it, et cetera. There's one, the tips are made from rose petals.
It's obviously European manufacturers.
And the comment was, for people who think the new wood tips are uncomfortable. It's like, rose? I actually forwarded this to my sister because it was like, I've never heard of this. And she's like, why would you do that? Who wants to smoke rose petals?
Yeah, I've never heard of that either. But it might explain some of those weird cigarettes I've seen people smoke. Remember?
Cloves were the big thing.
Oh,
right?
God, cloves are disgusting. Do you remember
you're talking about the
Helsing, that she smoked those weird cigarettes.
It's, oh, God, what's the heck? Helsing, Victoria Helsing? It's the Helsing chick.
Yeah, it's the actual Helsing chick. I wanted to say Sarah's Victoria, but that's the master chick.
Anyway. Oh, Sir Victoria Wingate Helsing.
Yeah.
So anyway. the channel I'm talking about, sorry, it's British Pathy, P-A-T-H-E, in YouTube. Take a look. It's pretty funny.
I wonder how much they charge for those. I mean, just curious. I mean,
want me to go get a rose out there in the garden?
No, I want to know how much they charge to do that. I mean, that's the point of it.
And it was the same channel that they also showed you that I forwarded to the old guy and how they made glasses by hand.
Oh, yeah, that was actually very interesting.
Because they basically talked about hand forming the glass. Then they talked about, like, polishing it.
And talking about eyeglasses?
Yeah, eyeglasses.
When they were made out of glass, actual glass, it was actually very, very interesting. Quite the craft.
I never even, like, because the whole thing was like, okay, how do you put the power in? There's a lot about it, because you just see and towards the end, you see somebody just with polishing compound and grinder, and it's just like,
oh, yeah, it's amazing. It and they're putting the optics into it, and then they actually made eyeglass frames themselves. They were handmade.
Interesting.
It was very, very interesting.
There was a show. I don't remember the name of it. But it was Burl Hunters, Tree Burls. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about who they sell them to.
The Burls.
Yeah, the actual Burls. And they go to not necessarily pie makers, but guitar makers, the high class vehicles, and just different things. And some of the woodwork in those, like Bentleys,
oh yeah,
and Mercedes, and how they do that stuff with the burls is actually really interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's really cool once you get into it. But yeah, craftsmanship
that you don't hardly ever see anymore.
But yeah,
it's still there.
The price of some of those things that they sell those burls for is insane. I'm driving around up here all the time. I see some of the trees, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, these guys will love it up here.
So, I just heard of this. It's I always like hearing about like disasters I've never heard of, because it's interesting, the fact that things that slip through history that you never hear about. The Morrow Castle disaster, Morro. Ever heard of that? It's a ship in 1934.
Morrow?
The SS, is it Morrow? Morro Castle made its maiden voyage in August 30th, 1930, and spent 4 lucrative years carrying passengers from New York to Havana and back. So it just talks about how it just showed up one day in New Jersey. Crowds gathering on the beach next to the still smoking wreck of the Morrow Castle. And it was something I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. I ran across this, and it was... I want you guys to find the article. There's a Facebook page called Interesting Shit that it's on. But it's interesting because it showed up on the Jersey Shore one day.
It was an abandoned ship that just appeared out of nowhere?
Yeah, well, it talks about the disaster.
This is not the Philadelphia experiment?
No, which is by the way, my favorite, what is it, conspiracy theory.
Absolutely.
It's also a good movie. You can skip the second one. The second one was awful.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so yeah, I knew the name of the castle, but I had never heard of the ship. So yeah, it's the fortress that was guarding the Havana Bay. Yeah, that's why I was like, I know the name, but I never knew there was a ship.
Yeah, so it says high winds fan the flames through the ornate wood interiors, and inexperienced and disorganized crew struggle to extinguish the blaze and transmit an SOS. When it became clear the fire could not be contained, many of the crew abandoned ship, leaving untrained, panicked passengers to fend for themselves. Passengers struggle through the darkness and smoke without direction, and it just goes from there. But it's interesting. It's just something I've never heard of. And I always find it interesting what ends up escaping modern storytelling.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of bad shit that has happened over the years, John. I mean,
well, yeah, but stuff like that, people love disasters. You think a ship that's smoking that shows up on the Jersey Shore would be something that you would hear about in some form of storytelling, because that by itself is such a rich medium for some sort of story. Titanic, for example. I mean, the only reason Titanic was famous because allegedly it was the unsinkable ship and yada yada. Here's a ship that shows up burned to death, and yet, you know, it just seems like you would hear about it.
You would think.
So that just surprised me that just never showed up in storytelling. It was fascinating. I find stuff like that's fascinating. Or it's like how I didn't hear up until I started looking to it. It was, Blackbeard ship off the coast of somewhere here in the States. How they found it. Was it Queen Anne's Revenge?
I can't help you. I don't know.
hold on.
I am not the knowledge of all things.
Well, I mean, it's just like how they found the Queen's Anne Revenge. And it was, I knew the ship. So Queen Anne's Revenge was a ship in the early 18th century, most famously used in flagship by Blackbeard or Edward Teach or Thatch. So, Teach. You know, how you didn't.
Ryan would lose his mind.
Yes, I know. So it was just, I don't know, I find stuff like that fascinating because there's so much through history that you either don't know about here or it just is not as common knowledge.
I think we talked about this not that long ago, but I was educating a bunch of people on actually the day the music died.
Oh, really?
You know, the 20-year-old kids in early 30s don't really know what that means.
Really?
And yeah. you would think, well, I think part of it, I think, is because they're parents. But you think with the Google, well, think about it. But my dad is closer to the day the music died than we are, or my cousin is.
Yeah, but I mean.
But so the reason, like my cousin, you know, if my cousin had kids and their kids had kids, there's a chance that his kids wouldn't have known what it is.
All they really know is the, what is it, the
John McLean song?
Or? Yeah, the John McLean song, or McLean.
John McLean.
Yeah, Jim McLean. Anyways, but yeah, they only know that song, and that's
you think
basically the only song they know by that guy as well. Because
that's the only song I know by him.
Basically the only song that they ever play by him. He's got a... about three decent songs that I like.
It's like Donovan. People who know of Donovan, they only know two songs.
Sunshine Superman.
And Whisper in the Wind.
What's wrong with Mellow Yellow?
I didn't realize that was by him.
Jesus, John.
Well, I mean, honestly, I hate that song, so it's not like I'm going out to look for her made it.
All right, you don't like Mellow Yellow?
No.
Why not?
Just never been a big fan. It's like the Beatles.
Kryptonite.
It's like the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. It's a song I hate with a passion of a thousand burning suns.
I hate Submarine.
Now, look, the thing about the Yellow Submarine is...
you got to be on drugs.
You had to be there at that period of time, okay?
On LSD.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was the hippie love. Everything was, it was a completely different time. In our existence, and one that we can't really truly describe. You had to lived it.
Apparently, there were less STDs back in the 60s.
I'm not sure about that one either, but
they knew about mercury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
A moment with Venus, a lifetime of mercury.
Anyways.
Yeah. So.
What it reminds me, that vaguely reminds me is... The old guy and my sister and I and my mom went to Maine in 1 year for a family event and saw probably one of the most depressing museums in the history of museums. It was a lighthouse museum. And this whole museum was basically how all the people who kept lighthouses ended up killing themselves or their spouse.
Yeah.
You know... unfortunately, that's true.
It is true.
Yeah. And it was,
there's a lot of sad stories about lighthouses and people that lived in lighthouses and how it tended to drive them a little crazy.
Because if you see them, they're so, you know, the East Coast and they're romantic. And then you read about how the guy, you know, dragged his wife up the top of the tower and threw her off it. It's like, well, there goes the nice... romantic. By the way, now there needs to be a horror movie.
You never mess with the lighthouse keeper. You know, there is a bit of a horror movie with that.
What?
Battle Royale. There's the chick that poisons everybody.
Yeah.
In the lighthouse.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for the guy with the trash can lid. Like, that's not going to get you anywhere. Of course, the guy with the binoculars didn't have it good either.
No, he didn't. He could just see who's coming after him.
From a distance.
No, anyways. You had something you wanted to discuss or rant?
I have really three things that I thought, I thought we might talk about, only because it's kind of interesting in some respects. And
can you, you got to pull your mic up closer a little for me.
Sounds perfectly good in my monitors. I mean,
you're disappearing. You're disappearing in my ears.
Your headset's obviously not sensitive enough to. As he turns my volume,
and I'm the only one that's not wearing anything, so I don't care.
James doesn't care. He sounds just fine to me.
Yeah, there we go. For you guys to tell me.
You're right. Not the one who's going to call at 3 a.m.
Yeah. So quickly, one of the things is if nobody's been to Wikipedia recently. You'll see that they are begging for money.
Oh. Yep. They do it every year.
They do it every year, and they're doing it again. They want you to give a whole $2.75, they're hoping. But they're out, and they're handing out, asking. But one of the things that I got to laugh about Wikipedia, you know, because unfortunately too many people actually believe everything that's written on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
One of the things they say, most people donate for a simple reason, because Wikipedia is useful. If Wikipedia gave you $2.75 worth of knowledge this year, take a minute to donate. Show the volunteers who bring you reliable neutral information that their work matters. Thank you.
Reliable and neutral. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say it's somewhat neutral because the funny thing, if somebody...
you look up Trump on Wikipedia. You show me where there's neutral.
Well, no, but the funniest thing about it is for a long time, what they'll do is somebody will change it and then somebody will change it back. And then what they do is they found out they'll block like entire IP addresses for Congress. They've done it before, which is hilarious.
Well, it's the whole Snopes thing too. I mean, when Snopes, everybody said, oh, okay, I don't know if that's true or not. We'll go to Snopes and find out. And then, you know, everybody believed it was the end all to all things, that it was neutral and never lied, which unfortunately, folks, if you go to Snopes and you believe everything there, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hold on. So I'm actually on the Wikipedia thing for him. It's pretty funny. I love the way this is written. It says, it's about Donald Trump. His political positions have been described. So they're not actually mentioning what his positions are, but they have been described as populist, protectionist, and nationalist. A couple of ists, because you know ists are bad. Despite being disfavored, in most forecasts, wasn't actually true, kind of, he was elected in a surprise victory over the Democrats. Notice surprise.
Neutral.
Over Hillary Clinton. Although he lost the popular vote, you don't have to win the popular vote to become the president. Yeah. He becomes the oldest first-term president. That part's funny. By the way, how old was Reagan when he won?
Obviously younger than Trump.
That's just true. Well,
sorry, I don't have that information. In my
computer. I'm kind of, somebody here has, you know, is using the internet. You know, could have.
Laughing at Wikipedia.
He lost the popular vote. He became, and the first without prior military or government service. Did Jimmy Carter serve in the military?
Yes, he was a nuclear engineer on submarines. He was an officer in the Navy.
It figures why he failed at raising peanuts. His election and policies have sparked numerous protests. Trump has made many false or misleading statements during his campaign and presidency. Okay, that I'm going to quibble it because usually...
So you're going to read the whole Wikipedia thing?
Sounds like he is.
The point is that you're having fun. Yeah, the point is that it's kind of funny that the way they put their...
The wording is hilarious.
Reliable, neutral information. Thank you, Wikipedia. I like you. You give me information. I don't know that I'm going to take it to the grave with me. So I want to move on to item number two on my list. And one of the things I want to bring up too, and I don't know how many gun owners we have listening in this audience here, but California gun owners I'm going to bring up in particular. One of the things got passed many of the... people that watch all things regarding laws in California has to do with a law that was implemented in July 1 of this year, that being 2019. If you're listening to this in 2020, thank you. Was the fact that if you want to purchase a firearm and or ammunition in the state of California, you must have a real ID. Yeah, see, I'm getting that look from what? Yes. They snuck it in. Now, understand this. Real ID is a federal application to our California driver's license. It makes you provide added information that you are truly a citizen of the United States of America.
That's racist.
And
my throwaway comment stumped you?
No, it didn't stun him. I just think he's... Try not to stun you.
Anyway.
I'm just echoing some people out there in the ether.
Let's put it this way. There's an awful lot of people out there that do not know this, and will be walking over to their gun store, ammunition store, whatever it may be, to buy some stocking stuffers. Yes, people do put ammunition in stocking stuffers.
So wait, so even to buy ammo, you have to have a real ID?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
So... it's that or your birth certificate or your passport that cannot be expired.
I can't use a utility bill?
No, sorry. So, I was did not realize that.
When did you realize this? Actually, I'm just curious.
I'll tell you what, it got me because I, like many people, I bought enough ammunition prior to the year change where. You know, you can't go out of state to buy ammunition and or now you have to have a background check done to buy the ammunition. I went and stocked up, and I have plenty for years to come. The point is, I probably shouldn't have said this.
No, I wouldn't have said that on air, but all right.
Hey, I have none. I'm sorry. I only have one or two boxes.
Anyway, he has none to give me.
Anyway, the point being,
I would say, you know, the old guy is getting a little older, so, you know, stuff happens with
age.
That's right. Hey, anyway, the point being is that it really did sneak by a bunch of people, and I was surprised at this recently. I won't tell you what I was doing, but I was asked for my ID, and when I presented it, they said, sorry, we can't use this. And, of course, I went into the conversation as to, okay, that, and it says because federal limits apply. And I mean, wait a minute. So you're talking about California is requiring a federal requirement.
So the question, there was one question. Yeah. Why did your proctologist ask for your ID?
Okay. So anyway, the point being is if you do go out Christmas shopping and you want to get yourself some ammunition, you're going to need your real ID or passport or birth certificate. And we won't go any further than that. I just want to say that was one that got passed off an awful lot of us.
Yeah, I passed by me.
Yeah, I consider myself an expert in these matters. And this one got to me, and I started looking it up, and it came into law in July 1 of this year. It was actually snuck into a companion bill of something else. It was completely under the radar.
And that's one thing that pisses me off about California and their judicial.
And don't forget, friends.
Legislation.
You can only buy ammo for family members. If you're buying for your friend, you are technically committing a violation.
Well, it's a straw purchase, and you can't do that. That's right. You can only buy for yourself or your immediate family, being your wife or your children, period.
Yep.
Not your cousin, not your uncle. Nope. Wife and children only. So, anyway, with that said.
So, no, James, he's not adopting you.
You know, the sad part is if you go to a range and you buy ammunition over at the range,
you can walk away with it.
If you don't shoot at all, you can't take it with you. You got to give it to the range.
Do they reimburse you?
Heck no. If I was a ranger, would I reimburse you? You bought the ammo. You either shoot it all up or you leave it here.
So if I shoot 40 out of a box of 50, and they keep 10, and so do they rebox the ammunition once they have enough and resell it?
I have no idea what they do. I don't own a range. But the point being is that if you buy ammunition at range, you have to shoot all that ammunition there at the range. Welcome to it's unbelievable the laws that we have to go through here in California. So it's pretty
this
sad.
This is because the cheating, lying bastard who is our governor, and look it up, he is actually a cheating, lying bastard, as his ex-wife. This is all your fault, Gavin
Newsom.
Wasn't
his parents married?
His parents? I'm going to say no.
He can't really be a bastard.
He's a bastard. No. Yeah, he's a bastard. Look at him. He looks like a bastard. If you ask any conservative, the first words after their mouth after the F word is bastard.
Yeah, well. Anyway, he doesn't help things.
Just more of the story. Hate him for hurting our Second Amendment rights, and keep your wife away from him.
Yeah, he really hasn't seen, and he said it, he hasn't seen an anti-gun bill he won't sign. So anyway,
he's just like Schwarzenegger.
It's pretty sad, but that's I digress on that. I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention because it was something that I think got past a lot of people.
I did not know that.
So now we're all educated.
Oh, by the way, now that we've already talked about it, my apologies. Trigger warning.
One of the other things that got my interest this week in the news, if any of you have been paying attention to what's been going on here, other than the so-called impeachment.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Going on. Other than, I will not speak of that. Unfortunately, there was a shooting that took place in New Jersey.
I did hear about that.
the person who wrote the article calls it a rampage. It was not good. It was.
Was it the one at the
crime at a kosher market?
I didn't see the manifesto either. That supposedly was in.
Right.
Left.
So, but unfortunately, it left four victims, including two Jewish Americans that died in this. And we have a representative, United States Congresswoman, Tlaib is her name. And she tweeted out in response to the murder spree, "This is heartbreaking. White supremacy kills." Okay. So the unfortunate part of this statement that she put out about white supremacy kills is that They weren't white.
The same thing happened with Zimmerman.
Yeah, they were black. But what caught my attention about this whole thing is that there is an organization that I was not aware of called the Black Hebrew Israelites.
You've never heard of them?
I hadn't.
Huh.
It's a black supremacy organization. And
I'm cursory aware of them. I've heard the name.
I wasn't aware of them. So anyway, to add insult to injury on this, to this Tlaib lady, our congresswoman, even the Liberal Self-Poverty Law Center lists the Black Hebrew Israelites as a hate group.
Oh.
And so, of course, she was eager to point fingers right away that it was a white supremacy thing, which it was not. It was a black supremacy thing. And then black Jewish people. And they believe that the white Jews, which is not a real thing, but anyway, are not really Jewish. Only the black Jews are really Jewish. And that's part of their thing,
huh?
Apparently.
So do they, I am curious where they think their lineage comes from in the 12 tribes of Israel. I'd be curious in where they think they track their lineage to.
The black ones, apparently.
I don't know. Cain? It says Black Hebrew Israelites. Cain, I don't know.
Wow.
Mostly
John
traded.
Loves Mormons.
I know.
Wow. And any of you Mormon people, I am willing to discuss this topic.
I'm not. So send all your hate mail to him.
Wow.
Anyway, I thought this was that a little harsh? Multiple ideologies, because the congresswoman is a Muslim.
Well, if you want to talk
and so
politics a little bit, the same thing happened to that George Zimmerman dude. Everybody said he was white until he realized they were Hispanic. Then all of a sudden, his race was never brought up. Also, he's suing for like $100 million.
All right.
That George Zimmerman dude.
I
think he's suing the family.
George Zimmerman?
Yeah, remember a couple of years ago
he was the guy that shot the kid.
He was
okay.
He was the guy who took
Florida?
Yeah, it was Florida.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that took the neighborhood watch a little too seriously. He shot that poor black kid.
Yes, right.
And so apparently he's suing the family, if I remember correctly, for $100 million.
For defamation of character or what?
Something like that. That's
the only thing I could think of.
I tried reading the story, but it was so hard to read just because the idiocracy of all of it.
That's a movie for you.
You know what? That movie would be hilarious if it wasn't the fact it seems like a true story.
Somebody went to the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I came back because I couldn't handle it. Being the smartest guy in the room was a little hard to hang.
Anyways.
You know, suddenly, wait, we're getting an awful lot of static. you hear that?
I don't. I'm not. I really don't put my headphones on.
Do you guys think they'll ever make another Back to the Future movie?
No.
Why?
Well, Michael J. Fox
you know
isn't
why?
Doing movies.
I'll tell you, I do. So I'm sorry, I answered my own question. It seems like they can't come up with an original idea that works, and so that we have to constantly do reboots of everything. And if you look at most of the movies out there, in some degree or another, they tend to be absolute reboots of everything.
Well, the guy who owns the rights to it, who wrote it originally, said he'll never allow it. But there's so many reboots, I was wondering if they're going to do it. Now, I'm kind of hoping for a female Bourne movie, honestly. Hey, that's it. Why couldn't they use Gina, that Garano?
So are they not coming out with a female 007? I believe that's in the works.
That was our last topic. They went on about that for about 25 minutes last week.
Then I wasn't here, and I don't want to talk about it. My story got completely just thrown out the window.
Hold on. As an old Bond fan, I wanted to ask you a question. So if they straight came out with a female Bond movie, no explanation, no handover, no nothing, and somehow they figured out how to make an actual female James Bond that matched the character that's traditional, or if they did a they had the current James Bond retire and hand the 007 moniker to a woman, which one would you prefer? Which one to you would be more realistic and enjoyable for somebody who's been watching Bond movies his whole life?
So first 008 becomes 007. That's the way it works.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
the way it works. So I wonder, there's a hierarchy, so it keeps going.
I wonder how...
So there is a 006, 05, 04, 03, 08.
Yeah. So according to the one of the first, I think it was the first Daniel Craig movie, he just got his license to kill and became a 007.
No, he doesn't just kind of get a license that was used from the previous 007, and then all of a sudden, no, it's they got to work their way up. I don't know if they start at 12 or where they start at, but they start out some vacant number and everybody shifts.
So I guess my question is, if they didn't do any explanation of it, and one day...
All of a sudden there's a female Bond, a female double O of some kind.
Would that bother you versus...
No, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay, because my thought, and I said this to Ryan, was I think the audience might have a hard time with it, because one, James Bond is a man whore. I still think society would have issues with that. And he's kind of chauvinistic, and I think having that opposite, I don't think that would play well, but I'm just wondering if you would have an issue, because I don't know if I would. I just was wondering if it would be a good movie or not.
I'd be perfectly fine with it.
So I guess it comes up to, is the story good enough?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any reason... You know, I suppose there's purists out there that are.
I'm a purist to it, but I would rather see a female Bourne than I would a female James Bond, just because I think.
So Ian Fleming, I mean, if you look at the period of time that the Bond books were written, okay, they're written in the 50s.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. So then Ian Fleming wrote these books, and yes, were they chauvinistic? Probably so, because the whole attitude still back then was
It's a product of its time.
And, it's a product of its time. So, yes, now, would you have to make it different if there was a female 00? Okay, maybe. But I see no reason. Matter of fact, I think it might be a great way to reinvent the Bond movies. We've got one more coming out, I guess, 2020, with Daniel Craig. And...
Part of me is wondering if they're just
going to... The last one wasn't that great. Sorry. I didn't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Part of me is curious to see how they do it. Are they going to make it, basically, it's Jane Bond, and she's this alcoholic sexist who, you know, makes bad jokes, or is it going to be a completely different character?
One can only hope so.
You know?
I'll be honest with you. I hope they make it just off the hook. Just the complete.
So it's going to be the all-female version of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, I hope it's better than that. I don't know. I'm not even sure why this is a topic. I suppose it is of some interest to a certain degree, but, it wouldn't bother me at all.
It's a topic that's come up in some of the places I read. Here's what I would like to see. I'd like to see Daniel Craig retiring and basically hand over the reins, as it were. So you actually get a direct hand down. It's in the same universe, so it has the same amount of realism, instead of being Pierce Brosnan's Goldeneye or Pierce Brosnan's Bond, which is ridiculous. I think that would be cool, because it's in a continuum, and you get to see, okay, James Bond, who is the spy, retired, so it's 007. So basically, the license, etc., gets transferred. I think that would be a better way to do it, because it also automatically lends whoever is in the role a little bit more credibility. Versus you introduce an all-female female character without any of that, I think some audience is going to have an issue with it. Plus the fact I think it's better storytelling that you have the handoff. You know, he hands over his PPK and the keys to the fancy car. You know, I'd like that. I think that would be a better story.
I couldn't disagree with you more. To be honest with you, I'm sorry. I think it would just be better, you know.
Because I think the all-female James
Seven dies. To be honest with you, and everybody shifts, and 009 comes in, and it's the story of 009, it's the 007. Because
I have a feeling the female James Bond is going to do good at first, but she's going to end up being the George Lazenby.
So, you know, if you're going to look at movies and you're going to talk about movies, the problem is longevity. And, look how many different Bonds we've had in the last 40 years. It's been 40 years, right?
Part of them, because they're so physically hard. Daniel Craig's promised three different times he'll never make a new Bond movie.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they wave so much money at him, and fortunately, he's still physically able to do the role, but, I mean, so Sean Connery was pretty good. Roger Moore, he was, what, two? Only in two movies?
I thought he was in three.
I don't know.
Two? Three that I know.
Three,
and George Lazenby, the one. Pierce Brosnan was in pretty much everyone made in the 90s.
I mean, you know, so there is some longevity, but that tends to be in males. Females, particularly when they're action roles, other than maybe Halle Berry, seems to be that they don't have any longevity for it.
Halle Berry, Charlize Theron, and Angelina Jolie. I actually think Angelina Jolie's her personal life has foreshadowed her movie career in some ways. There are female action stars. I think the issue is how they do the role. Now, if they're going to bill it as a sex symbol, which traditionally this is the role any female has been in, I think that's going to be difficult. This is why I think if they do the handoff, it's going to force the people who make the movie not to be it about, hey, this is a chick, let's highlight her boobs, versus this is somebody who's been in the game long enough. I think that would be better. It lends credence to why there's a switch instead of no explanation. All of a sudden there's a female Jane Bond or whatever her name is.
I believe that they could probably do it better by the fact that there's probably been a female 00 forever. And we just haven't heard about her because you've never heard about the other 00s.
But that would be, that's actually not true. Some of the other 00s are actually in the other movies.
They're not highlighted. You don't really know where they come in and don't. I mean, sometimes I think, if I'm not mistaken, you heard that 00 whatever was not able to complete his assignment. So we're having you fill in and do this. But it's minor. It's very, very minor. It's so minor that you
know. I think 008 is in one of the movies, and I thought one of them turned on the 00 program in one. But that doesn't matter. I just think if you introduce the female the character without any sort of backstory, I think is going to be the issue. You know, you don't even have to have Daniel Craig, but the conversation of 007 was retired.
I think that's very. I think the way to look at that is for you is that that's kind of. Oh, it's a nice way of tapping him on back and saying goodbye and have a good one and drive off in your Aston Martin and have a good rest of your life. And now we've got replacement.
It's the explanation of why there's a whole different, not even character, but gender. Because everyone's been James Bond. Now, if they introduced Sam Rockwell, why is Sam Rockwell though? Why isn't he but James Bond? And if it's Samantha Smith, why has Samantha Smith been there? I think the issue is there's so much backstory. You're going to have to do something just to, even if it's a split second scene, I think they're going to have to introduce something just to get over that storyline hump.
Well, since they don't pay me to even give a damn about my opinion, I don't care. How's that? I don't care. Just do it. Come out with a movie.
So
I think it'd be fun to
watch. I think you did bring up a really interesting point that John just glossed right over a long time ago. I'd say about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Are they even making any new movies?
Yeah.
And so, you know,
Okay,
go ahead.
Any good new movies? How about we go there? And I stopped, and you know, you really made me think. Mm-hmm. What is a movie that isn't a remake, a reboot, a sequel to, or something to having to do with their own universe, a standalone movie? And, you know, I really had to dig.
You had to search, didn't you?
I had to dig.
You did.
And I came up with two from 2018.
Oh, okay.
Terrible Thing.
Terrible Thing. Okay.
They're Netflix exclusive movies. They're not even cinema movies.
Okay. Well,
and you know, I just want to throw them out there, see if you've seen them. The Cloverfield Paradox.
So I started watching.
My hink on that one was I thought it was going to kind of be with the movie that they did 5 years ago or something, Cloverfield.
Yes, right.
It's a different thing, completely different. And, you know, it's hardcore sci-fi. But after you get into it a bit, it's actually really interesting. And it's a good movie.
So why was it so hard to get into in the beginning? Because I started watching it, and I just
I think just because they go really hardcore too soon.
All right.
And that's what I thought it was.
So did you like the movie?
I ended up liking it. At the end of it, I did think it was actually a decent movie.
Okay. All right. Well,
so there are a couple of movies that are in theaters or going to be in theaters. That are
and I got another one for him.
Yeah, wait.
And I mentioned this one last week to John and Ryan, both because I've just been kind of staying away from movies. I got in this mood where I was like, I'm just going to watch a bad movie. A couple bad movies is what I went on a tangent of. And that's when I watched the Iron Sky
sequel. Right.
And so I'm digging through and I came across The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
I enjoyed the crap out of that movie.
It was a good movie.
I thought it was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's I like. It's a pleasant surprise when you come across a movie that, I'm going to watch it.
That's what I told him. It was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, you find yourself suckered into this movie.
Yeah. So there is a couple of movies I want to mention that we complain so much about big box office movies. So Ford versus Ferrari is supposed to be an amazing movie.
I saw it, and it is a very good movie. I won't say amazing, but a very good movie.
A Beautiful Day.
Tucker? I enjoyed the crap out of Tucker.
Tucker was very...
Was it kind of...
That was a good movie. Yeah, this was about really about Cheryl Kelby.
Shelby. Yeah, I know she meant. Yeah, Shelby.
Cheryl Shelby. It's getting late for me. but anyway, was about her, about him and his ability to come up with a race car that could beat Ferrari.
Is this the one with the ACAs?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
It's the it's based off of the 24 Hours Le Mans.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it was because Ferrari said that there was no way in hell that Ford could ever make a car to beat Ferrari.
Yeah, and one of the ways, I don't know about this time, but one of the ways Shelby did it was by putting a V8 in an ACAs, which was a girl's car in Britain.
This was a totally 100% hand-built, hand-designed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So another one that's supposed to be pretty amazing is A Beautiful Day to Be My Neighbor. I haven't seen it, but I heard it good. Midway is supposed to be amazing.
I've been wanting to watch Midway, but I got to say, I'm kind of a little bit...
It's worth done
watch. Done with war movies at the moment.
It's worth a watch. I did see it. I did go and see it. It's a good movie. It's worth a watch.
I did give Overlords a try, which is the J.J. Abrams.
Right.
I don't think you would like that one at all.
Yeah.
It was too much monster-esque. Mm.
Can kind of get away.
Like a grotesquery type movie. I liked the opening of it, but after about the 30 minutes or so, you just kind of lose interest in the movie.
We went and watched a documentary. Oh, doggone it. Like, it's about World War One.
Yeah, the Peter Jackson one.
Peter Jackson directed it. It's taking old footage, World War One footage, and
I bookmarked that. I haven't watched it yet.
Putting it together in a way that the kind of showed a section, just a small piece of World War One. It's a 2-hour movie.
So there was some techno magic done on that too, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, they did an incredible job. Just incredible job. They took footage that, and believe me, there's footage that some of it we have probably all seen throughout some of history. But they took footage that was deemed unusable, and they were able to bring it back.
Oh, wow.
And there were some unbelievable scenes. And one of the most interesting parts of the whole movie was actually after the credits, where he sat down and he talked about how we did what we did. And he talked about things we didn't think about. The photographers, when they were filming, you got to remember, it was always hand-cranked.
Yep.
Never at the same speed. Every roll of film could have been done at a different speed.
Oh, wow.
So there was that they had to deal with. There was, the whole issues of lighting or lack of lighting or too much lighting. And then they colorized a whole bunch of it to bring it out. And it took them 5 years to do this. And it was all done in New Zealand, where his studios are. And it was very, very fascinating. They had, they still had some veterans that were alive during that when they were still working on the movie. Unfortunately, most of them died before the movie came out.
I think they're all gone.
It was the last of the World War One people that were still in it, and they had them talk about things that they were going through, how things affected them. They're in their own voice. And they were talking, you know, during the movie, and they're talking about things. And it was very, very well done. If you want to really see what it probably looked like to be involved with World War One, really like what it was to be, that's the movie to go see. 2 hours, it was well worth it. Limited showing. It's not in the theaters anymore. I mean, it's been there, wham, bam. It was a Phantom production. So it was just a very limited run. And we went to see it, and it was well worth it. So
I'll try that one.
I will say we're basically nine minutes over, but I will say if you want to see any movies that are pretty much non-tentpole, just skip anything that's Disney. Disney has one coming out. The new live action Mulan's coming out. They have the Jungle Cruise that's coming out towards the end of 2020, along with the Eternals, which I think is another Thor movie, if I'm not mistaken, or a different one. So skip anything that's Disney, which pretty much is Marvel and Fox. You should see Universal. New things coming out. Yeah, so hey, just by the way, if there's any movies that y'all are looking forward to that we don't know, please, I'd totally be interested in knowing if there's movies. Oh, also, It Man 4 is supposed to come out, I think, this year, or if it's not already out, it should be soon, which should be an interesting movie to see.
I think the future of most of this, and I'm going to interrupt real quick, I know we're running over, but I think James hit on it, and I think it has a lot to do with the original movies coming from, like, Netflix and Hulu and all the other streamers, Prime. I think that's going to be a lot of the future. It's going to go forward, I think. But that's just my opinion.
And, hey, Ryan, if you're listening to this, I told you so. This is going to be the death of theaters. Going to theaters is going to become a boutique experience, and the old guy agrees. And so for the California Pariah, the Fat Man, and Miss Congeniality, as always,
goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
And don't forget, Rob Charney Show is coming back.